along the way, along such a long journey we've had, you know, you have moments where you think, is it all worth it? And should I just retire now and focus on other things? And, you know, you certainly have those moments quite regularly to decide whether or not it's all worth it, and to then continually put times on the board that I'm really proud of. I'm so glad that I didn't retire, you know, a couple of those moments in those crossroads that you have. Because, yeah, we've had the most amazing week, and to run 2:23 at my age, I'm pretty proud of it. And yeah, hopefully I have inspired a few 40 plus year olds to keep chasing your dreams, because if someone had asked me, you know, or told me that I was going to be doing this when I was 44, I would have went, are you kidding? Especially as a youngster at 22, having had already about 6 stress fractures. So yeah, you're never too old, I guess, to chase your dreams. And you know, at times we get exhausted and we need a break, but yeah, give yourself another shot at something and you never know where it'll take you.
Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 109 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Meet Lisa Waitman, business leader, badass mom, 4-time Olympian, and one of the fastest, most inspiring humans I've been blessed to meet. Lisa's overcome a lot to reach the fastest, best version of herself. She's quick to credit those in her inner circle for the key roles they play. Husband Locke, for always keeping things light and providing much-needed massage services. Coach Telford, and son Pete, who is secretly calling all the shots. Lisa put together a near-perfect training block, then proceeded to pull off one of the most amazing marathon doubles in history, scorching a 2:23 personal best for fourth place at Osaka, just 10 seconds from second place, and a 2:31 13th place finish at Tokyo just 7 days later. Her secret to recovery? A family visit to Tokyo Disneyland between races, where she likely put in more steps than either marathon. It was so fun to catch up with Lisa and family on her personal best breakthrough and what goals she's chasing next. Aiming to run in her 5th Olympic Games in the marathon, chasing down 10K and half marathon personal best attempts this summer, and a goal of finishing off her 6-star in Boston next year. For more on Lisa's inspiring journey, check out our Run Chat at episode 97, give her a follow, and take a listen. Lisa Waitman, welcome to Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC live in the Hilton, Tokyo. We're getting together here to do this pod number 2 live. This is like totally awesome. How are you?
I'm really good. It's been such an amazing week. Great to share it with you.
Yeah. And by amazing, let's set the table a little bit for everybody who maybe hasn't been on Lisa's page recently. Osaka Marathon, little flight from Australia. How many hours, just so we all know?
7 plus 4.
I don't even know what that means. I just know it's a lot. Rolled into Osaka in an ultra competitive elite race field and throws down a 2:23 PB or PR for US folks, but PB. Huge effort. 4th place overall, I think maybe 10 seconds out of 3rd. So just monster performance at Osaka. I mean, how excited are you about that? Totally stoked, right?
Absolutely. It's 4 Olympics so far for me, and to qualify for a 5th Olympics is pretty amazing, and that's what we set out to do. I've been chasing a 2:23 for a very long time in my marathon career, so to finally do it is, yeah, really, really special. And, yeah, to do it here and have such a wonderful race, I couldn't be happier.
Amazing. We all put goals out there in life. And just, again, to set the table for everybody, Lisa's 44, mom of a beautiful 8-year-old. Pete, who's hanging out in the room with us. Lack is here. We've got the whole family. Everybody's involved. But 44, mom, full-time employee of IBM, 20-plus years as a director, 4 Olympics. And most people, you know, as we're aging up, we're going the other way. So it's crazy inspiring for you to be putting faster goals out there and chasing them down. And it's just amazing, man. It's got to feel like just incredible.
Yeah, if I guess along the way, along such a long journey we've had, you know, you have moments where you think, is it all worth it? And should I just retire now and focus on other things? And, you know, you certainly have those moments quite regularly to decide whether or not it's all worth it, and to then continually put times on the board that I'm really proud of. I'm so glad that I didn't retire, you know, a couple of those moments in those crossroads that you have. Because, yeah, we've had the most amazing week, and to run 2:23 at my age, I'm pretty proud of it. And yeah, hopefully we can squeeze a bit more in the next sort of 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. So talk about the race a little bit. What was the course like? I haven't seen Osaka, wasn't able to watch it. One of the things that was a little disappointing, I mean, we're both big fans of Japan, as are your whole family. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't great, like kind of live coverage of the women, particularly like tracking and following them. And I don't think it was a really easy race for people to really tune in and see. So tell us a little about the course. What was it like, and how it was for you, like in the week itself and the race?
Yeah, so I was really excited about this race because I haven't ran that many marathons where I've had a pacer that is exactly the pace that I've trained for. And so I knew coming into this race that I was going to have exactly that pacer, and that there'd be other women wanting to run that pace too, plus a group of local men joining in. So we ran as a group the lead pack for 30K really, and it wasn't until 30K when the lead man pacer pulled to the side that things sort of got going from there, and the pack broke up a little bit. But in that section, there was also a little bit of a headwind, and the hills started in that section. So I was aware there were some hills, but, you know, you don't like to focus too much on that sort of that part of the race. You just kind of want to experience it and not, you know, not let it get into your head. So that section, I sort of dropped off a little bit of the pace. It got a bit quicker, and I was already on PB pace. So I actually ran one of my fastest 5K splits in that section where I typically would have, you know, really slowed down. So that was the goal of this. I think last set of podcasts that I did after Berlin, I was like, the goal for the next one is to hang tough in that 25 to 30 and then 30 to 35, just to, you know, really kind of see how much further I could hold. And I really wanted to do that this time without fearing blowing up. And I did that. I didn't slow down all that much. And it wasn't really until the last 7K where we had a bit of a headwind and we had the hills that I slowed down, and I lost about 30 seconds in that section. But I think that was just natural terrain and environmental factors rather than actually really changing my pace. So yeah, pretty special opportunity. You always, you know, want to finish a race and then start to dissect and be negative about, oh, I was so close to second, you know, eight or 10 seconds off second. But I kept stopping myself. This is like, no, we cannot do that. We can't go leave this race going, what if I had have done this, you know, because I hit all the other goals, you know, I was able to hang tough and when I wanted to, and that really puts me in good stead for the next one to then try to, you know, hold it till the finish and get now into the, you know, 2:22s hopefully in the next one. So yeah, it's exciting to know that that opportunity is there and how strong I felt in this race, and to carry that on through the year, and it should be an awesome year.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an epic result. And so you had the pacer set it up and carry you all through and help work together, which is terrific, but that's when the going gets tough. And you took your experience from Berlin and you focused on it. And I'm sure you didn't just focus on it mentally. You probably were making a little bit of tweaks here and there in your training. I mean, did you do anything specific to like try to help you prepare for that, that maybe paid off in that race? Because most of us, even at the elite level, even at the pro level, which you're at running in four Olympics, like even when we really specifically try to address something, it almost always doesn't really come together the way we want. And in this case, it did in the hardest section of the course. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think this block, you know, I trained a lot better than any other, you know, in the only other block that I trained probably as well at, or not even quite close to, but, you know, very consistently was in the lead up to when I ran Chicago, but unfortunately got food poisoning and that all went south. But this one, I knew I was in good shape, and I missed only 2 days of running in the whole block. One was because I flakily missed the bit of the road when I was doing one of my sessions and tripped over absolutely nothing and ended up on the ground, and then took a day off to recover from just like, you know, just randomly falling on the road. And another time where I'd gone back to work after our Christmas break and was a bit tired from adding everything in life back.
Get tired. Are you sure that's possible? Because wait till we get to the second part of this story. But sorry, I just had to throw that in there. And hashtag header on the side of the road. Go on, keep going.
Yeah, so the only other day off is when I kind of went, oh, I can't do this session today. I really need to just cut this and go home. And Lachlan agreed with me after 2 1K reps that it was time to go home. So they were the only 2 days that I missed in the whole block. And I think that really showed the strength came out in being able to tick off every single run that was on the program.
So he gave you an official out after the first 2 1Ks. In other words, hashtag ripcord as well. Yeah, we've seen shots of him out on the bike out there on the side of the road with the wind blowing and the ruse jumping off in the background. So, you know, classic stuff. But yeah, it's always fun when it's the husband-wife interaction on coaching stuff like we talked about with Neely and her husband, man. Those are easily the most humorous moments for sure. But so you changed, you made some tweaks. It came together. It's got to be amazing. And it's just incredible how runners, it doesn't matter whether you're a four-time Olympian like you or any of us, when it's over, instead of being like, hey, great job, you really pushed through, you did this, it's the first thing we do. Well, if I could have done this or that. So I'm glad that you're looking at it through the positive viewfinder and just taking away what it is, because it was just an incredible performance after so much travel and getting settled in. And, you know, it's a breakthrough, man. It's a huge breakthrough. And you got to celebrate it for sure. And it had to be extra special, you know, having Pete there, you know, having Lack there. I mean, he's, I'm sure, at mostly all of your races. You guys are a team like that. But, you know, having Pete there as well, did that help you, like, dig a little bit deeper?
Yeah, it did. And I think the other special part of coming here to Japan and running Osaka is that, you know, I've ran well here in Osaka Women's. And the last time I was here, though, it was for the Olympic Games, and it was such a tough experience, you know, being away from Lock and Pete for, you know, almost 10 weeks and then going home and being in hotel quarantine. And, you know, that was pretty emotionally challenging. And if I'm completely honest, by the time I actually got to the moment of needing to get on the plane to come here for the Olympics, I was ready to go home. You know, mentally I was missing Lock and Pete. It was, you know, challenging with all the COVID stuff. And, you know, there was always so much fear around the world at the time. And to then be putting yourself more into that firing line seemed like a crazy thing to be doing. So, you know, I really struggled with that, and I didn't really prepare for myself, you know, for that mentally as much as I should have. So, yeah, it's certainly been wonderful to have that opportunity for the three of us to come here and really put a great result in the board.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a special thing because it's a shared family experience. And you chalk that up. And so most of us, you know, have like an epic race and we travel like around the world to get there. In my case, a lot of us and most of the people I'm connected with so closely are part of this Abbott 6-star series and chasing a 6-star dream, you know, finishing all the 6 marathon majors. And we'll get into that a little bit because I know you're only one away. You just need Boston to finish yours off and you'll want to get to
then
that.
Then I'll be as cool as you, Ron.
Yeah, no. Everybody's cooler than me, man. I'm just the old dude who's run enough of them that I'm collecting them, you know, at this point. I'm sure maybe I'll give Pete one to take back home because, you know, do I really need two? Although Tokyo Teddy has one and then I have Rue from you two
from
our Berlin trip. So Rue would really feel left out and it really would be inappropriate. I think that would be a serious problem for me. So I think I have to work on number 3 and then we'll take care of Pete. Again, most of us, you finish a race like that, you crush it, you're on top of the world, you run 223, sorry about that, and, you know, we're going to be getting massages, we're going to be relaxing, we're going to have our feet up, but no, Lisa has to take Pete and Locke, they're going to Tokyo Disneyland, they're out walking 45,000 steps a day, they're crushing junk food, and they're basically getting no sleep whatsoever, and the Tokyo Marathon comes up 7 days later, and guess who had a bib on and ran in the race? Lisa Waitman signs up, dresses up, throws her bib on, and gets in the race. So let's talk about that completely insane back-to-back 7-day performance. Runs 2:31 in Tokyo, 13th place overall, 7 days from Osaka, and all of the stuff that I just talked about. That might even be more insane than running 2:23 in Osaka. Tell us about it.
Well, it was an opportunity to run for ASICS, and, you know, I couldn't pass it up. I thought, well, you know, it was the fifth star that, you know, I needed in order to get the sixth, and then I have Boston to go, and I'm here, and I have a bib, and I, you know, I've got these cool shoes that, you know, I felt pretty recovered in the legs. I don't know, the whole Disney thing was pretty exhausting. I think we did like 6.5 hours across Tuesday, and then another 6.5 hours at Disney Sea. But we did have a really nice swimming pool, so I think that helped. We swam each afternoon and got a bit of hydrotherapy, and I got a few massages from Locke, bless him. So
Team Locke.
That's right.
So earning his keep.
I didn't even have to ask. Like, he just kept offering. I was like, nice. Yes. I was, if I'm going to say no, right?
Nice. Very nice.
So I think it was like a bit of encouragement there to just give this crazy plan a bit of legs, so to speak. So I got on the start line. Actually, originally was meant to pace one of my really great friends back home, but she had a back injury, and then her husband had to have knee surgery, and he was also meant to run here. And another girl from Australia was coming in our party of, you know, three apartments. And then in the end, it just ended up being me. And so Locke and I were like, do we do it anyway? So we did. And look, I didn't set out to run 2:31. I set out to just try to get to the end as fast as I could without breaking anything. That was the goal. But as anyone that's ran Tokyo, or if you had the opportunity to watch it, the start is like a stampede. And so I had no choice being in the front to go with the front pace. Otherwise, it would have been like a bit disastrous. I might have ended up on the road again. So the first 5K was like an sub 17 5K. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to be keeping going on this one, this pace. But then it settled down from there. And then I felt most comfortable just kind of settling in the last 10K to a pace that, you know, felt more like a leisurely, you know, run than the sub 17 5K that I did at the start. Yeah, but to finish, it was really special to have that opportunity to see what Tokyo's like and to experience it from a different perspective. So, you know, you go into the elite starting area with, you know, all these amazing women, and, you know, it's nerve-wracking because you have expectations on yourself, whereas I had no expectation. My only nervousness was I'm going to all this effort and I really want the finisher medal. So I don't want to blow a calf or, you know, and so I had to work out how do I run this to get there as quick as I can, but without, you know, doing that. So the nervousness was around, will my body let me down or will I make it more so than actually wanting to achieve a certain result or a certain time? So I was a little worried, you know, here and there in the race when legs were getting a bit tired and, you know, what I'd be doing to them, but it all worked out. And, you know, you get a bit of you get a bit competitive with yourself anyway to pass the time, you know. So I was trying to, you know, I was running with actually a really nice group. One of the guys grabbed some cups of water and gave me a cup of water along the way. And so I ran with them for quite a large portion of the middle section. And that was good because you can switch off a bit having a group. And then also I got to see some of the Australians that I knew were running that we caught up with after, and they stopped and took photos and shouted out, and I'm sort of waving and wishing them well. And so that was the beauty of experiencing it from a different lens, I think. I'm glad I had that opportunity because I haven't just ran a marathon for the enjoyment of running one before. And so this was, yeah, that chance. Yeah. Little crazy. Not sure I recommend it 7 days apart, but it's done now.
Yeah. 2:23, 2:31, fastest two within 7 days, probably in history. And that 2:31 is still ranks incredibly high on Australia's marathon list. I mean, it's not like it's a time that isn't amazing in its own right. And that's 7 days apart. So just truly amazing.
Thanks, Ron. It's we've certainly taken the careful road. I think as a junior, I had 8 tibial stress fractures. And so I've always, you know, really done things carefully, not taken too many risks. I'm not a huge risk taker. And, you know, this was a bit risky, but it was kind of nice to just try something different. I mean, you know, where I'm at in my career, I just wanted that opportunity to run Tokyo and really experience it. And it was there. So it seemed you know, like I would regret it if I hadn't have tried.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be cautious, obviously, as you're moving forward and a chance to do something historic like five Olympic Games, which it is just amazing, mind-blowing. But to run in Tokyo, to run in this course, which now I've been blessed to do twice, it's just so amazing because the crowds are awesome, but you kind of have to engage them to for them to be as awesome as you want them to be. It isn't the same as New York or a Boston or a London where the crowds just tend to be more boisterous. And I'm sure back home when you run in Australia too, we're louder, we're more wild by nature. And it's the opposite of Japan where everybody's just culturally, you know, just calm and so polite and so reserved. But if you say hello to them or you say ganbatte, they just go bananas. They're going crazy. And then we were talking about Luigi because Luigi's right behind us over here at Mario Brothers. We had Mario Brothers costumes out on the course and people running with these crazy costumes. And it just brings a whole different kind of energy. And I don't know, it's just such a beautiful and pure experience. And then just where we ran, like some of the sights you see, although of course at your speed, I'm not sure you can even see this stuff when you're blowing by at your pace. But hopefully you got to enjoy some of the sights that you saw as well.
Yeah, it was a good experience. Yeah, I think seeing the costumes and seeing the Mario Brothers group, I think it's a bit different at the moment too with the COVID and the fear of COVID. I think for a while here, you know, there was signs up, I know for the Olympics, where people weren't allowed to cheer and things like that. So because of the fear of spreading germs with speaking out aloud. And so, you know, perhaps also that kind of toned down the crowd a bit from previous years, it would be my guess there too. So, because they were a lot, things were a lot quieter than I did anticipate, given how much I'd heard about bands and atmosphere and stuff on the course. The people were out there. They were definitely there cheering. There just wasn't that loud, you know, that the noise and all of that that I expected was going to be there. So, but hey, the participants, like seeing the sea of people come through when you're doing all of the switchbacks and, you know, being able to see the people I knew who were racing, I thought that was amazing. Given how many people were running that event and I was actually able to see every single one of the Australians that I knew were running, we were actually able to wave at each other. It was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because you're talking about the switchbacks. I mean, I had forgotten how many there were. I mean, I knew there were a bunch. I just didn't realize there were that many. And at times I'm like, wait a minute, are they ahead of me? And I'm like, how is that? I know that person. They're ahead of me today. I'm like, oh no, I think they're behind me. Like, I couldn't tell anymore, like as it would loop around, like who was ahead of me and who was trailing me. And it doesn't matter anyway, right? But the most important point is you're seeing people. People are shouting out your name. They're giving you a yell. People are yelling to me. And it was always at the moments I needed it. You know, when I started to feel like I was drifting a little or just feeling the effort a little bit, you know, somebody would yell out, go runs NYC, whatever. It was like, yes, like energy boost. And just felt amazing. And, you know, photographers all over the course, crowds all over, definitely more sedate, but awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, just for your audience and crew back home in Australia and anybody who listens to the show, man, you got to put Tokyo on your bucket list. I mean, obviously, you guys know I'm the hype person for running the six-star series, but it's just such an amazing adventure just to come in Japan, period. You know, whether you get out to Kyoto and Osaka, where you guys were when you first started, or Hiroshima, or any of the other places, Lake Hakone, you know, just so many beautiful places. And of course, if you got the young ones like Pete, you gotta do Disney or Legoland or any of the other fun things here, because this is anime heaven here and costume heaven. Like, they're all about it. So, super cool. So you checked off two crazy boxes. You crushed two races in one
week. Tokyo Disney as well, Ron.
Oh, so sorry. We're gonna definitely make sure we highlight that and tag Tokyo Disney in this post as well. Thank you. Totally awesome. But now you have five stars, and you were part of the races today. It was a Guinness Book of Records for the most Abbott six-star finishers. We came into the race with like 8,300, call it 8,500. We're over 10,000 now, maybe even closer to 11,000. So it was remarkable that it was that many runners earning a six-star. And you have this bib that you get on your back and it says, I'm earning my six-star today, and you could write your name on there. And it's just so cool because it just pulls all the other runners in to be able to support you personally and give you some love out on the course. Like, hey, My name's Lisa. My name's Ron. I'm running for a 6-star today. So I think that added like a whole other level of juice to the event yesterday. And now you're going to be one away. So you're going to have to pay this thing off. So Boston,
I think so.
It's there.
Next,
and,
yeah.
You know, to finish it at Boston is even more epic.
Pretty iconic. Yeah.
I mean, we're at 127 this year. So, you know, I'm sure there's no way on earth you would even think about this year with what you've just done, or unless you want to run a marathon next weekend.
I think I need a rest.
Yeah, I think
I'll have a rest this time.
Yeah, let's talk to your coach over here. Yeah, I don't think we're running a marathon this week. Unless Pete says you're going to go somewhere else and run one, because Pete's probably really in charge of this operation.
I think so.
If we really think about it. But so Boston's there, you know, that will be super cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would be excited to have you and have you be part of that elite field would be awesome. And, you know, get your hill work in, which I'm sure you have loads of hills available to you, and you could be part of that great history. So next year will be 128. Think about that, 128
crazy
marathons. Mm-hmm. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
And all that history and all that lore and all of the amazing men and women that have towed the line there and produced it. So
yeah,
that's super excited. And I think you were telling me on your treadmill, you have the course like programmed
in.
Yeah, on
my Nordic Track, I can watch the course and experience it on my easy runs and see even that, you know, the Nordic Track, it changes the elevation as the course changes. So you can really experience that. And we've watched that a few times, particularly in the lead up actually to the Olympics when I had to do some of the heat acclimation work. I was able to go through and watch each section of the course and experience that. So I have a fair idea as to what I'm going to experience when I have that opportunity to run there and, celebrate the 6-star. That'd be pretty cool.
Very cool. Mm. And we got props. We got 6-stars all over the place.
That's it.
2 6-stars. I actually got my second. And there's only 40 of us in that class out of about 11,000. So that was really fun to be part of that festivity and that energy level yesterday. And you will get to join the 6-star family, which is amazing. And I'm rooting for Sydney to become number 7, because that'll be just an excuse for me to come down and visit you guys.
That's right. Yeah, we're really hoping that's going to happen. There's so much hype about Sydney and, you know, all the elites are getting behind it. And yeah, we'd really love that opportunity to bring the world to Australia. It's a long trip over, but it's absolutely worth it. We've got a pretty amazing country.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I can get to cross it off my bucket list because embarrassingly, I haven't been there. So Ron runs NYC has to hit the land of down under, because otherwise Rue is going to just like cut me off.
Rue
might just take me out in the middle of the night, man. Rue's got the boxing gloves on. I won't even see it coming. He'll just probably just come and take me out. And that'll be the end of me. Like what happened to Ron runs NYC? Taken out by Rue. You know, I mean, secretly, you probably had this all planned, you know, like because I haven't come for a visit. But so what's next? I mean, that's just like the most amazing, literally the most amazing week, back to back for 2 races ever. You guys are getting ready to take the long trip home. What's next? Obviously recovery, build, cycle in, really get yourself back together. I remember we might've talked about going after maybe a half marathon record or something like that, or no, just like no real like long-term plans right now for anything special.
Yeah. Well, I think I've done enough marathons in the last week, so we'll hold off on that. But yeah, back home, I'm back to work, and Locke's back to work. Pete's back to school. So that's pretty much straight away. And then we'll hope to do some 10K and half marathon races locally and really run well across that circuit. I ran a 10K PB in May last year, so we'll have another go at getting a faster 10K time. And I'd really like to run a huge PR at the Gold Coast in the half. I hold the record there, which is 69.00, which I think is quite an old record now. Is set in 09. So when I was, you know, a young spring chicken. So it'd be pretty funny to come back now and smash that one. So yeah, that'd be a nice story, I think. So we'll give that a shot next.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be my excuse to come down. We're talking through the travel options right now. I have to talk to Coco, the dog. She's in charge of my budget and has to decide whether or not I'm allowed to go on these extended trips or not. But yeah, even if I can't get down there, we'll obviously all be rooting for you. And it's inspiring as hell, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming over with everything you guys have had going on to come down and sit down and share some time before you guys fly home and chat up their Run Chats audience and tell them all about this amazing work, because they're going to be inspired as hell.
Thanks, Ron. Well, yeah, hopefully I have inspired a few 40-plus-year-olds to keep chasing your dreams, because if someone had asked me, you know, or told me that I was going to be doing this when I was 44, I would have went, are you kidding? especially as a youngster at 22, having had already about 6 stress fractures. So, yeah, you're never too old, I guess, to chase your dreams. And, you know, at times we get exhausted and we need a break. But, yeah, give yourself another shot at something and you never know where it'll take you.
That's the best final message ever. Really appreciate it, Lisa. Thanks so much for hopping on. We'll definitely get this, try to squeeze it in maybe between a couple of pods that are recorded, so it's a little more current for our audience, because everybody knows about what went on with the race, but it'd be fun to hear your words. We'll see if we can squeeze it a little bit sooner, but, thanks so much for coming on and joining me. Safe travels home. And as we tell the Run Chats audience at the end of every show, keep lacing them up, keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight. Wow, this episode was so fun and truly a family affair. We had Pete on for a couple of podcast attempts, which we may have to eventually put out on YouTube. We'll have to get mom and dad's permission, of course, but we had a lot of fun recording those. Super fun. Family affair for sure. And having her and Locke and Pete in the room together, getting the chance to talk to Lisa between races after her amazing personal best breakthrough, 2:23 to Osaka, was just so fun. You could just see the joy and feel the joy in her and Locke, because they're such a key team. They do so much together, and they're just a great partnership for sure. And it just was really fun to feel that super positive energy. And they kept it really close to the vest about her running Tokyo. I didn't really actually know she was going to go through with it till like the day before, and still kind of almost don't believe that she did. But it's just such a cool opportunity for us to chat live with the whole family there and just have some fun and have a couple of beers. And just I hope you all enjoy it. It's just a really fun chat. Lisa's one of my favorite people. And if you're not already following her, definitely get over to her page, give her a follow. She is super fun. And she engages with almost everyone who writes to her in the comments. And I think she's just a massive inspo to moms out there everywhere that are runners at any pace. It's just something she feels so strongly about and has a deep connection with in the running community. So head on over there, give her a follow, and stay tuned for what's going to be hopefully a big summer for her as she works on cranking up the wheels and getting after new PBs in the 10K and half marathon, and then eventually trying to get into the 2:22s. Super exciting. She's already crushed the standard of what will be required to run in her 5th Olympics. Not a guarantee yet, but I really hope to see that come to fruition. That would really be something special for sure. So I hope you all enjoy this episode. It's a quick one, but hopefully there's a lot of energy in it and some fun convo between us to power you through a quick short run and get the juices flowing. So appreciate everyone out there for following along and listening to the episodes and being part of the Run Chats family. And since I'm injured at the moment, I'm going to count on all you to keep lacing them up for me, keep getting out the door for me, and I know that we will all together stay in the fight. God bless, peeps. I hope to see you out there in a couple of months, and keep running strong. Take care.